Hello, everyone. Welcome to C-Suite Talks, a podcast that takes you inside some of the most interesting businesses and industries today. It explores career success and how we can make a difference. We invite you to join us on this journey. Welcome to C-Suite Talks. I'm Beth Hilbing, co-CEO of C-Suite.
And I'm Diane Gubin, co-CEO of C-Suite. And this week, we are so happy to be speaking with Lourdes Castro Ramirez, Secretary of the California Business Consumer Services and Housing Agency. California Governor Gavin Newsom appointed and the state legislature confirmed Lourdes. And as secretary, Lourdes leads and oversees 10 state departments and 6,500 employees. She has responsibility for five main areas. The first is preserving and expanding affordable housing. The second is advancing statewide collaborative efforts to prevent and end homelessness. The third is guarding against employment and housing discrimination. The fourth is regulating financial services. And the fifth is licensing nearly 4 million working professionals. Welcome, Lourdes.
Thank you so much, Diane and Beth. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it'll be a pleasure.
Yes, absolutely. Well, gosh, that's a huge area you are supporting, and I want to find out all about that. But before we start, give us your career path. How did you get to this position?
Yes, thank you. Well, thank you, Diane. I very much appreciate, of course, the opportunity to be able to be here to share a little bit about who I am and how I got here. I think it's always important, right, to start with that question, you know, what is my story? And I think the reason why it's so important to start there is I have found in my own sort of upbringing and in my career journey that when I listen to how other women have been able to work their way to positions of responsibility and authority, it's, you know, I'm largely inspired by their stories. And so my story is one where I'm the eldest of nine children.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty significant. So I was born in Mexico, and my family, my parents, immigrated to the States when I was 4 years old. And like many families, they immigrated to the States in search of a better future, in search of better economic opportunities, and in search of providing my sister and I at the time with better educational opportunities. And so as a family that's, you know, a new family to this country, an immigrant family, mm-hmm. I had to learn early on, and really as the eldest within the family, I learned early on what it meant to have a sense of responsibility. I was keenly aware of how difficult it was for my parents to leave their home country, their family, and to start in this new country where they didn't know the language, where they didn't have also the legal status. And so I think that early upbringing and that experience very much shaped who I am, and that sort of sense of responsibility of doing everything possible to honor the sacrifice that my family made on behalf of myself and my siblings, but that sense of responsibility also that I bring to the work that I do, with, you know, sense of knowing that I'm the first in the family to go off to college, knowing that I'm the first, you know, to serve in some of the capacities that I have been able to serve in, and doing so with a sense of responsibility and with a sense of respect and honor and with a sense of integrity. And I think that that was shaped very early on for me based on what I saw in terms of the sacrifices that my parents went through.
That's an amazing journey and one that so many people obviously have come into this country with, right, and continue to do so. So we thank you and your family.
Yes, thank you for the work you're doing.
And I can't imagine having eight brothers and sisters. That's a lot.
I can't imagine being the mom, because I'm a mom of three, and that was a lot.
So tell us a little bit about your role, and what is the Business Consumer Services and Housing Agency Secretary responsible for? And you know, just describe what that is and then what's your area of responsibility and how you make an impact.
Which obviously you are making a huge impact.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Diane. And thank you, Beth. Yes. So I often say that there's not a very easy way of describing the position or the agency that I have responsibility to lead. And as Diane was making sort of the introduction and summarizing the five areas, basically that the California Business Consumer Services and Housing Agency is responsible for doing everything possible to protect consumers, to promote and preserve affordable housing, to work in partnership with local communities to advance solutions that will prevent and end homelessness, and to guard the civil rights of Californians. So some of the departments that are within our agency include the California Housing Finance Agency, the Department of Financial Protection and Innovation, the Department of Consumer Affairs, which has responsibility for about 37 different boards and bureaus that provide a regulatory oversight of about 250 different professions. And in the housing space, which is a very important area of priority for Governor Newsom and for this administration, I'm responsible for ensuring that there's proper coordination and oversight of all of our work across the housing continuum. And that means working closely to address homelessness, working with a laser focus to accelerate the production of deeply affordable housing, but also creating greater opportunities for families to become homeowners, to really have access to that American dream.
That's tough with real estate prices.
Yes, but particularly here in California, where less than 50% of households basically are homeowners. So we, you know, we recognize, right, that California is challenged by not having sufficient affordable rental housing and an affordable homeownership market. And hence the challenge and the opportunity that's before us. But of course, you know, we don't do this alone. Our agency, as you mentioned, has several entities, 6,500 employees. We are responsible for $9.7 billion in operating budget. And these are, you know, resources that we're managing and administering to ensure that they get to the communities that we're serving. So all in all, the agency that I have responsibility for leading is doing its best to foster an equitable and inclusive California.
Okay, that's great. That's wonderful.
Wow. It's such a mega job that you have taken on, and you are so passionate about housing in particular. So why is housing your passion? I have a feeling there's something that's deeper than just the title.
Yes. Well, first of all, you know, having a home is so fundamental to who we are and to shaping our identity and to shaping our sense of belonging. And it's also so fundamental to stability and opportunity. And, you know, as we just discussed earlier, right, in the state of California, having access to dignified, safe, affordable housing has truly become a challenge. And it's not just in the state of California, it's across the country, and for a number of reasons. You know, my perspective is that this is not an issue that took place over the last 2-3 years. This has been 20-30 years in the making, and really a result of, at the federal level, there has been less investment in promoting affordable housing over the last 30 years. There's also been a growing disconnect between what families make and housing costs. And so more and more families are paying more of their income to keep a roof over their heads. There also has been an ongoing challenge in some communities with embracing affordable housing, and so overcoming the NIMBYism, you know, has also presented challenges in terms of creating affordable housing. But you know, I'm deeply motivated and passionate about expanding housing opportunity because I, you know, at a personal level have seen how my own sort of personal experience of having a stable home environment enabled me to focus on going to school, getting an education, and then pursuing a career and doing something that benefits others. At a professional level, I'm very focused on housing because I have seen in the various capacities that I have had over the last 25 to 30 years, the transformational power of having access to affordable, stable housing. Studies have shown that it results in improved health outcomes. It results in better educational outcomes, and it also, results in this thing that I think is so important for all of us to have a sense of connection to a place. When a family is able to develop that connection to their home and to their neighborhood, those are, that sense of connection and identity, I think is very important in the formation of who we are to become.
I couldn't agree more. I also saw an article that they're using a lot of 3D printing to help build the homes and the manufacturing, which I thought was very interesting. Anyway, so you started your role right before the pandemic hit.
That was fun, right?
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. So how has that kind of shaped your role, and how have you been able to accomplish what you thought given the pandemic, or were you did you have to switch gears, so to speak?
Yeah, well, you're definitely right, Beth. I started, I started March the 2nd of 2020. And on March... March the 4th, 2 days later, the governor declared a state of emergency. This was, of course, based on all of the information that was coming in that that clearly pointed to a public health crisis, not only in the state, but across the country and across the globe. Starting a new job in the midst of a pandemic was difficult. And I think it's important to acknowledge that, right? New back to California, starting in the midst of a pandemic. But I do think that there is a silver lining in all of this, right? In terms of my sort of beginning of starting this job. And that's that I got to see firsthand the values of this administration in action. I got to see firsthand how my, colleagues across state government very much forgot about what department or agencies they were from and instead focused on what do we need to do together to protect Californians, and specifically, what do we need to do together to protect vulnerable Californians, and how do we work in a way that allows for us to be nimble, fast, responsive, and strategic. I think that was sort of the best way of starting a job, right? You're jumping in, getting to know your colleagues and working to problem solve. And it was, challenging and difficult, particularly as we started to see the numbers of Californians, the number of COVID, positive cases, and then eventually, of course, the number of individuals that ended up in hospitals and who lost their lives. There was a lot of grieving that was also taking place.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's been a horrible year, yes.
There's been a lot of deaths, and especially with parents. Diane and I, even in our C-suite circle, we've had quite a few of our members, their parents have died. My mother-in-law just passed. So it's a lot for people to have dealt with. And then to keep functioning and trying to make money and do their jobs and, all that, it's a lot. But anyways, I digress.
And show up and be remote. Yeah, all that. So, but Lourdes, truly, the work you're doing is forget impressive. It is just so vital and so important. And I really want to thank you because I feel secure knowing somebody like you is doing all this work to prevent and end homelessness. I think that is just such a significant impact you are having on our society. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you, Diane. I definitely have to say that I'm very grateful to be part of this administration, an administration that truly does care, and we're doing everything possible to be a government that's responsive. And, you know, if I may, I'd like to also share that, you know, going back to this question about housing and the role that housing plays, I do think that this is the right time for us to double down on housing for a number of reasons.
I agree.
Yeah. For a number of reasons. I think that, you know, the federal government, this new federal administration, the Biden, you know, Harris administration is definitely also prioritizing making deeper investments into housing that is affordable, that is accessible, that is integrated into communities. Of course, Governor Newsom, this is his number one priority. And at the local level, we have seen so much innovation and leadership around this issue that this is our time, right, to be able to expand housing options.
Well, I think, you know, it's hit the crisis. Unfortunately, it's hit a crisis mass that it has to be dealt with. I think, you know, it's a hard issue. It's not a solvable issue. It's something that's going to be there for a long time. But just starting to address it and starting to work it, that is the best thing you can do, right? Just a path forward and getting in there instead of putting it or whatever. So that's great. So since you do come from a large family and you're the oldest of nine, how did that shape and influence your path? And then I'd kind of like to hear, we haven't heard kind of how you started your education into your career too. So kind of weave those two things together.
Yeah, yes, definitely. So so I mentioned, you know, I'm the eldest of nine. And for those of us that are the first in our families, I think we often are charting a new course and there is a sense of responsibility and doing our best to make our parents proud. And I definitely took that to heart. And for me, I think it was also very much a function of just seeing how hard my parents worked. So I graduated from high school. I went to Linwood High, was the first in my family, of course, to go off to college. I was able to get into UCLA. I got my bachelor's degree in political science.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And Chicano studies. And my last year of undergraduate, I quite frankly didn't know what I wanted to do because I didn't know what I would be able to do with a bachelor's in political science and Chicano studies.
That's
yeah.
All.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine said, you should apply to graduate school, and urban planning seemed to be interesting. It was sort of this intersection of working with cities and communities to plan for the future and to bring in people. So I applied, got accepted, and so I earned my urban planning degree from UCLA. And even, you know, with a graduate degree, I still didn't know what I wanted to do. And I want to sort of emphasize this point because I think that for those of us that are the first in our families, it is not, and when we don't have others maybe that we can look to, other professionals within our families that we can look to, choosing a career is not a given. And knowing what opportunities or options are out there is also not a given. So I didn't know what I was going to do with this urban planning degree. But luckily, I had a professor who saw something in me and in the work that I was doing in community, and he encouraged me to apply to this nonprofit organization in Ventura County that was focused on affordable housing and community development. And I applied for the job, got the job, became a community planner, and very much was focused on helping to educate residents in the county of Ventura about the importance of creating housing that was affordable and dignified for farm workers.
That's great.
Farm workers that worked the crops in, you know, Ventura County. And that, that work of being in community and being in conversation with folks. And again, I guess, you know, the kind of fusion of knowing how important it was to have a stable home environment really awoke my passion for this work. And so I spent 3 years in Ventura County. And then being the eldest, I wanted to come back to LA County to be close to my siblings because...
You just missed them all.
And because my mom was like, I need your help, you know.
Because the other eight couldn't help.
They were like, you know, I really felt that I was like there's a second mom in many ways. And I wanted to be close to, I wanted to be close to them. So I applied for a job with the LA City Housing Authority and got to spend 10 years working for the LA City Housing Authority in various capacities. And then had an opportunity to go to San Antonio, Texas in 2009. So I'll stop there.
No, it's interesting. I mean, we're enjoying listening. But so just finish it out. Yeah, it's great.
So let me tell you the story about the decision going back to family, right, and the influence that family has had. So it's 2008 when I got this call to see if I'd be interested in this job in San Antonio as the CEO of the San Antonio Housing Authority. And quite frankly, I didn't think that I had the experience or the knowledge or the ability to step into that role.
Oh, such a woman issue. Oh my gosh. Every guy would say, yes, make me the CEO. But you're like, I don't know if I can do it, but keep going.
Yes, exactly. And then the other thing that really, that I hesitated about was San Antonio, Texas. That's a whole different state. And I'm so close to my family and right. I would never be able to leave the state. But I, you know, talked to my husband and, talked to a few mentors, and I decided to apply. And I applied mostly to get a sense for what it takes, you know, to be a CEO. And lo and behold, I was offered the job, and so I had to make a decision. And I think the hardest part of making the decision, of course, after talking to my husband and our kids, was having the conversation with my parents. And I think it was hard because I didn't want my parents to think that I was leaving them behind.
But you had this CEO opportunity, which is really such a dream for so many. Wow.
Yes. And so...
And in a housing authority where you would actually make such an incredible impact. So anyway, go on.
Yes. So it was... Yes, it was challenging, Diane. And I remember calling my mom and my dad and inviting them over for dinner at the house to share the news. And my husband and I sat with them, and I told them that I had this opportunity and that I had not accepted yet because I wanted to talk to them. And my dad, with, you know, tears in his eyes, said to me, first, you know, that he was so proud. And then he said, you know, Lourdes, when we left Mexico to come to the States, we did so to provide you with a better opportunity and future. And what you're doing now is the same. You're leaving to another state to provide. It's an opportunity and to provide for
Others.
A better future.
Yeah.
And he said, but the difference is, when we left our country for many years, we couldn't go back. For you, you can hop on a plane and come back and see us. So it's going to be okay. So go, do it. And
And he should have said, and take all your brothers and sisters with you.
And all their pets.
they definitely did visit. Both my parents and my siblings came out to Texas quite a bit. And yes.
How awesome.
Okay, that's great. So how did you leave from San Antonio? Did you get a call to the governor's office? Is that how it happened? Or
yeah, how'd you get to California, back to here?
Yes. So I spent several years as the CEO of the Housing Authority, and then I was appointed by President Obama to serve at the federal level. I spent 2 years as basically leading the Office of Public Housing and Native American Housing Programs. And then I came back to San Antonio, and I was working for a public health system in the city of San Antonio that was serving South Texas. And yes, in 2019, I got a call from the governor's office, from the appointments office, that my name had been shared with the governor and his administration, and they wanted to know if I'd be interested in having a conversation about an opportunity. And I said yes, of course, hesitating and thinking, there's no way that I'm ready to be secretary of this agency. And so here I am now.
You're doing, that's great.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So I got to ask you, like, how many hours do you work in a day? I mean, is it from like the minute you wake up until you go to sleep, or do you get a little fun time in there, a little exercise?
Yeah, well, it is a very demanding job, Diane. So I work all the time. I have not taken a real vacation since I started this job. And, you know, my husband and I, so we have three children, and my oldest son and my youngest daughter, they're in Texas. My daughter is a student at UT at Austin, and my son, you know, works and lives in San Antonio. So in some ways we're empty nesters, and, you know, sometimes when you I'm in the stage of my life where I can devote a lot more time to my job.
I understand.
So as we kind of wrap this up, because it's been so interesting to speak with you, what would you like our listeners to know about your work and what you're currently focused on as we kind of wrap this up?
And how we as a community can support you.
Yeah, and how we can support you.
Yes, great, great. Well, first of all, again, thank you so much to both of you for inviting me to be part of this, you know, conversation and to share my path, my story, and the work that we're doing. I think that it goes back to the question about what can we do, right? As we move into what we call recovery and moving from being in this, you know, crisis response mode, very much, you know, in response to this pandemic, and also in response to the climate, you know, changes that we are all feeling across the board. I think it's important for us to not lose focus of the importance of continuing to work together, to be more accepting and open to creating more housing that is affordable. I think it is important, you know, for us to also acknowledge, right, that this pandemic that brought so much change and so much loss, you know, to our families and communities, also gave us a different way of seeing the world and a different way of working, that. You know, we should continue to lift those, you know, solutions that came out of this pandemic and scale them. And so that's what we're trying to do at the state level, right? You know, to look at the lessons learned and to expand some of the programs and solutions that were born out of this pandemic, that were in response to protecting households, and make them more permanent solutions in terms of how we operate.
No, I think that's amazing. So Diane and I are so happy to have you with us today, and we're so excited for our listeners to get to hear everything we discussed today and your story. So we cannot thank you enough.
And thank you for spearheading the work you're doing. Yeah. Honestly, you're making a huge difference and such an impact. So,
and it's like you're Goliath, right, against the giant, because there's so many issues, but just starting is the best path forward. So that's great. So bless you to you and your family. You're a very broad family there for sure. So we want to thank our sponsors today, Google, the sponsors that have funded the podcast, Google, as well as Manette Law Firm, Woodruff Sawyer Employee Benefits, and Amplify Professional Services, an executive search and IT consulting firm. So thank you so much for listening to us today.
Thank you for listening. And thank you, Lourdes Castro-Ramirez, Secretary of California Business, Consumer Services, and Housing. We so appreciate you being on the show today. Thank you. And hit the subscribe button, right? Apple, Spotify, everywhere you find your podcasts, leave us a review. A good one only, please. Or, you know, if you have anything you don't like, you know, just send us a note. But give us a good review. Follow us on social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. And we love hearing from you. Send us an email. Send it to beth@csweet.org, or check out our website, www.csweet.org. And that's it for today. Thank you and goodbye.